James is literally like, I feel like the hub of the reality scene.
So I'm sitting there around a table eating cake with Mel B. I've got a bag back from Tonga and you've got a bag back from Cavi and Towie on your back. Sleeping with a guy would be like not gay in my opinion. If I have a vegan burger, I'm not a vegan. Production come in there. Chloe wants you. Does she though? Went in there. Just missed you, James. Come back. Yeah. Why are they giving you a black eye? Why aren't they pushing you? Why's your bag going missing? We used to have a swimming pool in school and I used to call fat. So I spent my lunchtime throwing it up. Weighs warm makeup. I remember at school we used to wipe it off on the way home so mum wouldn't see.
What was the trolling about with the Valentine's idea?
That I look disgusting. I shouldn't be doing this, shouldn't be doing that. Why am I wearing this? But I just think it goes down to jealousy. I think a lot of it goes down to people aren't ready to accept it. But this is what I'm saying, like, when you see people at school and clubs and they give you abuse, that's taught.
Welcome to On The Record with Chloe B, where I invite celebrities on to tell their truth behind the headlines. You can listen every Monday at 6 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube.
So I am joined with someone who actually got asked a lot of times to come on. Like when I put up on my Instagram, who do you want to come on? I had so many people saying...
They actually said me.
They did. They said, bring James Johnson on. Honestly.
I feel a bit of like imposter sitting here.
Oh, don't be so silly. So for anyone listening who don't know... who this is James Johnson. He's my best friend and he also is a celebrity hairdresser and also the first male ambassador for Anne Summers.
That's mad when you say that. It's mad because actually at the minute, every shop window in the country for Anne Summers, I'm in the window.
I know. You're just very quiet. I feel like you're nervous.
I've got less clothes on than this in the shop window. So if you see it, go and have a look.
Oh no, I feel like you're a bit nervous.
I have a little bit. You're going to grill me.
Don't be nervous. I'm not going to grill you. I just feel like, obviously you're one of my best friends. Yeah. And I feel like you have got such an interesting life story. I feel like, you know, people that follow you, you've managed to get this really big following on social media. And I feel like people just know you as a celebrity hairdresser and know what you do with Anne Summers. But yeah. I think that the story and how you come to doing what you do is actually really interesting.
It's quite similar because you've done hair.
Yeah.
So I feel like when I spoke about it before with you, you've actually been there, lived it and done it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're here. It's just mad.
I know. So I just wanted to know a little bit about like your backstory and how you started doing hair. And also, you know what? Let's take it back even further. I want to know about James in school.
I feel like in school, I went to grammar school, mm-hmm. which not everyone expects.
Yeah.
I'm quite clever.
Yeah.
But it was an all boys school. So it was specialising in maths and PE.
Okay.
Two things I hate.
Absolutely horrific like, subject.
I used to play rugby. Would you believe that?
Absolutely not.
I was
no.
in the scrum.
But
I was a little short fat kid and I used to proper give it a go.
Yeah.
I used to run away from the ball, but still I gave it a go. And then I left school and then grandma was like, you need to get a real job. And I thought, fuck, she's right. So my first job was with Kate Middleton's hairdresser.
No.
Which is just mad.
Yeah.
In Chelsea. I feel like... they bullied me there, if I'm honest. Wasn't allowed makeup, wasn't allowed fake tan, had to cut my hair short. And even when I removed all them, I still wasn't welcome.
Yeah, I worked in a London salon and I feel like there's sort of like a uniform that they want you to have. Like, you know, obviously I'm from Essex and I arrived like being young and like, I think I was about 17, I had big nails on and they just wanted me to take them off.
They want to strip you.
They want to sort of make you look like classy, which I understand, but then also like, you know, the way you look is also your identity.
100%, which is why I think now, all these years on, Anne Summers means so much to me.
Yeah.
Because going back to that kid at 18 who was told, I can't do this, can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who are you to say I can't do that?
And you know, in school, so obviously you speak about like in like your first work environment, you felt like you had to sort of hide who you was. In school, what was your experience like in school?
I always knew I was different. Mm-hmm. I didn't know why I was different. I think when you're young and just kind of free, just trying to like find yourself, there's no one really like me back then doing what I was doing.
That's the same. It's actually really similar. Like when we spoke to Junaid as well, like Junaid said he felt the same as well. Like he was from a small town in Peterborough and, you know, everyone sort of was quite similar and he felt like he stood out. So what was your experience like with people around you?
I got bullied at school.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like most people do, but pushed down the stairs, footballs kicked at me.
Yeah.
My brother was at my school. If I'm honest, it's actually his friends who started it.
Yeah.
I got a black eye at school.
Yeah.
So imagine coming home and having that and not knowing why.
Yeah.
Why are they giving you a black eye?
Yeah.
Like, why are they pushing you? Why's your bag going missing? Then I'm getting detentions because my bag's not there. I haven't got my books. But I think I wouldn't change it now looking back on it. I think at the time, obviously, it's hard. And I think it shapes you to who you are.
Why do you think that in school you was bullied? Like, what do you think the reason was? Obviously, it's not acceptable in any way, but do you think it's just because you was different?
Yeah.
I get so many compliments and questions about my teeth. I had composite bonding at the Lovely Tooth Club. They have offers on each month and you can pay monthly. They're based all over Essex, Hertfordshire and Kent. So many of the team from Towie and Love Island have been there. Check them out on Instagram, Tooth Club UK, and don't forget to mention Chloe10 for an extra discount. Thank you to the Tooth Club UK for being my official sponsors of On The Record with Chloe B.
I think I didn't like PE. Than like sports. I'd rather sing Leona Lewis on the playground.
I've got to be honest, James's playlist is absolutely amazing. On the way here, he's listening to
I want to be a DJ one day.
I think you should.
I feel like you would come.
If you was a DJ, I feel there. Like it'd sort of be like, and I don't know, like, you know, one of them really cheesy clubs that play like
Pop World.
Yeah.
That's when I went Pop World recently, they played High School Musical.
You just spent the whole night on Shazam.
Yeah. It was my playlist. I should send you the invoice. But no, I think that's why. But, I was obviously bigger at school. I feel like everyone goes through that stage as a kid where you just eat loads.
Oh my God, and you're just absolutely horrific looking.
Yeah. Like, do you remember the multi-packs of discos?
Yeah.
I used to eat the whole pack in a night because I could.
Can't say I've not done that.
And like, my mum didn't stop me. Why would she? She wants me to be happy. And I got big, but we used to have a swimming pool in school and I used to get called fat.
Yeah.
So I spent my lunchtime throwing it up.
Yeah.
I feel like most kids do it, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
People don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's why now I think Anna Summers for me it just means more, because that kid back at school who had no one to look up to, I think all the kids now that will see that and be like, there's a place for me.
100%.
Like, being different and being you is all right.
Yeah. So I want to, before we delve into like Anne Summers or anything like that, which is obviously amazing, I'm really excited to talk about, I want to find out more about your journey into hairdressing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I've done it. So I, you know, I
want. It's hard, isn't it?
It's hard. It's hard. And the thing is as well,
it's like, a proper graft.
I like, you know, in hairdressing, it's really something where you do have to start from the bottom. You know, you're sweeping floors, you're washing hair. And how did, obviously, you didn't enjoy school, you've left school, you've gone to do hairdressing. How did it come about that you're now styling basically the country's celebrities? Because your list of clients is immense.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Can you just tell me a little bit about your journey in hairdressing?
So when I was at grammar school, obviously they really push uni on you. Mm-hmm. For their statistics, they want everyone to go uni, which I think is so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And my way of doing hairdressing was my way of saying fuck you to the school.
Mm.
I don't want to be going uni. I'm done. Like, I want to go and make money.
Yeah.
What do I love doing? I didn't really know. I knew I was creative. I knew I was good with my hands and like I love talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
How can I make that into a job? So I obviously got the job with Richard Ward,
mm-hmm.
Kate Middleton's hairdresser.
So was he doing Kate's hair at the time?
He was known for doing the wedding hair.
Okay.
So that's how they got their clout for that. I didn't like it working there. I feel like they picked on me. And then I left after 3 months. And this guy was on X Factor called Jamie Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
He'd done the hair there. So I emailed to see whether they wanted a new apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And literally a week later, I was at the final with Fleur East.
No,
it's when Ben Haynell won, but like all there, I was just in the mix of it all, and I think that's when I was like, oh, this is actually for me.
Yeah,
but I think in a way I was spoiled, because to know you could do styling as a job, one look Saturday, one look Sunday, all that kind of thing, I kind of fell out of love with the cutting and colouring.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, it was actually quite similar to me actually. So when I was doing training in London salons, often, like most people don't know this, but if you do train in London salon, often you have to pick between styling or colour. So I picked styling. Can't say I was any good at it, but I was.
You are good. I've seen you do girls hair. When you go away on Towie, like away trip, you're the one doing it.
Oh yeah, well yeah, we're not to your standard. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, X Factor behind the scenes? You've got stories.
Imagine 1 week you're being picked on for being fat and different. Next week you're stood next to like John Legend and his wife.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
All my friends are at uni, they've got debt. There's no guaranteed job at the end of it, which is why I always support apprenticeships.
Yeah.
But yeah, to go from one extreme to the other. But I loved it. And I feel like that's where I really learned to go and get what you want. I didn't get paid for it.
Yeah.
I spent my time, my Sundays extra.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew long term this is where I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as an apprentice, as I'm sure you're aware, you get paid pennies.
Oh yeah, I think I was on like £3.50 an hour.
Yeah, I got paid £60 a month when I took my train ticket out. I got £500 a month minus £4.40 on a train, £60 a month I took home. Which is just
that, it's crazy, isn't
it? I spend more on McDonald's.
Yeah, to be quite honest, McDonald's has gone up. I'm shocked at the price of a Big Mac.
But I'm glad 3 years I've done it. I'm glad I've done it. And then I was like, nah. I was tired of like my friends then had more money than me. And I was like, what do I do?
It
like,
is I've, hard, isn't it? When I've you see this. Your friends like working at office jobs and getting this wage and they've got money to spend and holidays to book. And I remember doing it, like training and thinking, I've got no money.
But
like,
imagine me meeting Lady Gaga, Rihanna.
Yeah.
Next day I'm in a toilet scrubbing it with a toothbrush because that was my job.
Yeah.
Like, what a comparison.
Yeah.
But so after 3 years, I was like, Jamie, I love you. I love what I do, but I'm starting to fall out of love a bit.
So was you Jamie's assistant?
Apprentice.
Okay.
So there was only two there. So it was quite a small salon. It was near enough, Jamie and me, one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
So after 3 years, I was like, I've got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, I couldn't be his assistant forever.
Mm-hmm.
It was my time. I was bored of this. I started to hate London. Mm-hmm. I still hate London now.
Really?
But
why?
It just gives me, like, memories of getting the train at 6 a.m.
Yeah, you know what it was? Like, even I used to have to do that and, like, it's so hard, isn't it? Because like the smallest things would like really infuriate me. So like, I'd be on the train and like, no, it sounds really silly, but this would go through my mind. I'd know that the people that were all sitting down on the trains were going to sit in an office job all day and like to sit on a chair. And if I couldn't get a chair, I'd be so angry because I'd be like, feet. I'm literally going to be standing on my feet all day. I remember the pain of my feet just being like numb. And listen, I know there's a lot more harder jobs, but I was just, you know, I hated standing
up.
So do
you think if you went up a tower, you'd still be there?
No, I left before I went on TOWIE. Right. I left before I went on TOWIE. I liked, you know what is actually funny? I was actually saying this to someone today, actually. We were talking about something, and they was like, oh, do you think it would be awkward? And I was like, you know what? I just don't get awkward, and it's because I know how to speak to literally every person in the world.
Yeah.
Like, I can speak to an 80-year-old.
And you learn to deal with them absolute fuckers.
Oh, my God. I remember I used to have clients that would come in that wanted their hair washed but didn't like water. What do you want me to do? I don't understand.
Like, oh, it's too hard. You've got to be really soft.
Like. Yeah, or like, I remember this woman would put in like cotton buds in her ears and just be like so...
The cover the face of the towel.
Like the most dramatic... It's a basin and it's literally... I'm literally washing your hair and I would literally be like, oh my God, are you joking?
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot. Yeah. Like, but it really taught me how to deal with people. I mean, I think I can take anything on the chin, to be honest with you now.
I don't know. I completely agree. You get to meet all kinds of people. So when I left... that job,
mm-hmm.
I was on my own. I had $2,000 in the bank,
mm-hmm.
obviously no clients where I live in Kent, mm-hmm. this was in London. I was mm-hmm. like, what do I do? So I literally DM'd everyone I knew. I'm talking everyone I met, everyone I thought I could just like help me.
Yeah.
I messaged Fleur East,
yeah,
and was like, please let me do your hair.
Yeah.
I don't want paying, I don't want anything for it, I just want to do it.
Yeah.
And say that I've done it on my own.
Yeah.
And luckily she took me under her wing and she went gone in.
That's amazing.
And I've done it. And then surely I've got one, then one another.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've done Danielle Armstrong,
mm-hmm.
Towie, and then you all come.
We did. We all flocked to James, to be honest with you. Like
I heard a sheep.
James is literally like, I feel like the hub of the reality scene.
Oh, I get to hear it all.
He knows everything about everyone. He like often, like, you know, he's very trustworthy, James. He doesn't tell me the gossip, but if his hair holds all the secrets,
does,
that's what they say.
So many secrets.
That's why it's so big. So obviously it was just a like a ripple effect of people.
Yeah.
Who would you say is a moment where you feel, you know what, I've sort of made it here? Like you know, not the made it moment, because I know people start, you know, you could win an Oscar and still say it's not the made it moment, but where do you feel like, you know what, I'm
all right for me. So one was Mel B.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 21, she rung, kid in my hair.
No.
And I thought, Spice Girl, 21.
That's amazing, yeah.
Actually, funny story, we went round hers because she was staying at a friend's in London and the job got cancelled.
Yeah.
And whoever she was living with, I don't know who it was now, had made a Victoria sponge cake.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there around a table eating cake with Mel B.
And you just think...
And I remember getting in the taxi when I got out among mum and was like, Mum, I've just had cake with a Spice Girl.
Yeah, it is mad because like being in a hairdresser, these sort of weird moments happen where you just think, oh my God, like...
You know, it's quite intimate.
It
which sounds
is.
Stupid, but within seconds of meeting someone you don't know, your hands are in their head and you're literally on them.
Yeah.
And what they forget is I see everything on your phone.
Well, I'm very aware of that. Like often when I'm getting my hair done now, I think, put the phone away
from
me.
Because
I can just see. And I know that because I could see everyone that was texting. So I know that the hairdresser can see everything I'm doing on my phone and it gives me anxiety.
And then other than Mel B, I think I used to be a huge Saturdays fan, as you've seen in my playlist.
He is a Saturdays fan. He's still got Frankie's hair from back in the day.
This is why I've got this friend. I done Una.
Yeah.
And I was like, Una, I used to keep for 6 hours to meet you. And now I'm here doing your hair. So that for me was quite personal, which I know. Spice Girl's a lot bigger, but you know, I think that was the two moments.
It's little moments where you just think this is just surreal, isn't
it? I don't think you ever make it. I think I see it like a game. Once you get each level, it becomes harder. Doesn't it get easier? I've not made it.
And what is the progression in your career of hairdressing? Because obviously, like, you're freelance now, you do your own thing, you don't work in a salon, you go to your clients' houses or you travel with them to shoots. What is your progression in your career? Like, you know, some people be, I want a salon, I want this. What do you think you would want?
I think things have changed, obviously, since COVID and social media and TikTok. It's not how it used to be. People want to get their hair done at home. So I think mobile's on the up. But I don't really know. I mean, obviously, get all these opportunities, even sitting here. Like, what hairdresser would sit here? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm always grateful for
it. But you know what I think is quite interesting, actually? I feel like it's actually, like, the era of the hairdressers and the makeup artists are actually turning into celebrities themselves. Yeah. Like, I think, for example, like, Chris Appleton. Like, you know, like, he's Kim Kardashian's hairdresser, and he's a celebrity in his own right now. Do you know what I mean? People know you. Like,
I don't think it's ever the goal. I think it just naturally happens.
It happens because, you know, like, even you say to me sometimes that, like, you go on nights out and people go, oh, you do Chloe's hair, or you do something like his hair, and they know you because
somebody grabbed my wrist once and screamed, and I just thought, what the fuck? What do I do? My friends find it funny, they walk off.
Into a bank once, you remember? We went into a bank once and a lady was like, oh, hello, Chloe. And I went, oh, hello. And then she see James behind me and went, oh my God, it's James. He does your hair.
But to us, like, I'm just James. Like, what the fuck?
No, of course. I feel like it's just so exciting though, but it's weird, isn't it? Why do you feel like now, it always used to be the celebrity that was sort of famous, which is obviously still the case, but, you know, why do you feel like now people are invested in the people that are doing the hair and doing the makeup?
I think if we bring you into this, people are so fascinated by you and your life. And obviously, if you're a part of that life, they want to be involved. They feel like they know you. And then I think they just, you know, I hate to sit here and pick myself up, but I have got a personality.
Yeah.
I know what I bring to the table. And obviously, people like that.
Well, I feel like you've got to have personality to be a hairdresser.
Yeah, but some people don't. Yeah. And I think that's why they don't make it, or they forever be in a salon, which is fine. I'm not knocking that.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to be in one place every day.
Yeah.
And then I got a taste for what's life like to style and be here and be there and do this and do that, and then here we are. I never planned for this.
No,
if you told me 10 years ago, remember when I done Amy Child's hair, I said I used to watch you in bed when I was 14.
I think everyone's night. I've got to be honest with you though, it's quite funny, I think everyone's had that moment with Amy. Yeah. Like, I think that it's weird because Amy's
she should be on a stamp,
so lovely. Yeah. And she's honestly the most down-to-earth person you ever meet in your life.
Nation sweetheart.
There's something about her that when you look at her, you just sort of think, you're Amy Childs. It's a weird one, isn't it? Like, you know, like, obviously, I didn't watch Towie in the recent series when I joined, so I didn't really know what was going on when I joined, but of course everyone watched Towie when it first started. Amy was an icon, you know, and it's like, you know, the vajazzle and all this, and sitting there and she's going to, oh, do you want fajitas? And I just thought, oh my God, like...
But even with you, I think the best friendships come from people you don't know.
Yeah.
Remember when you messaged me, I remember doing your hair. It was like 6 a.m, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh my God, there's a fly. Is it gone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember when you messaged me, it was like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, like, I really couldn't be bothered. But I think that's the work ethic in me. Nothing to do with you personally.
Yeah.
I just thought, can I be bothered? I've got a full day of this.
It was for the NTAs. So basically what had happened was, I was like 19. It was my first time going to the NTAs. I'd been doing Towie for a couple months. Got an invite and I don't know how.
Winged it.
And I managed to get a dress and my hair and makeup done. I had to do it all in a day. And to be quite honest with you, it looked really nice.
It did. Like, I done it at 6 a.m.
Pulled it all together, done it all at 6 o'clock. I sat in my hair and makeup all day.
Did, like, you? I bet you didn't move like that.
Yeah, I sat in there all day, like, literally thinking, oh, I just wanted it perfect. And, you know, everyone gets their makeup done as late as they can. I just sat there from 6 waiting.
It looked iconic though. I loved it. But even with that, like, many people would be like, nah, I ain't doing that.
Yeah.
Don't want to work Sundays. Don't want to get up before. But you have to.
Do you feel like a lot of hairdressers in the industry or even makeup artists have like a bit of an ego?
I think so. And I think there's nothing wrong with having that. Mm-hmm. I think it gives you fire, but don't let it be the main character.
Yeah.
Like, use your ego to push you. You know, I'm sitting here, people will probably be like, why are you doing that?
But no, but I think there's so many reasons. And I think as well, you're not just a hairdresser.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's what obviously why I wanted you here. You're the first male ambassador for Anna Summers. So moving on away from your amazing career which you've had in hair, how did it come about that, even before we go into Anna Summers, how did it come about that you become sort of an influencer? Because, you know, you've got quite a big following, to be honest. You're verified on social media. How did it come about that you got that following?
I remember OK reached out to do an interview and I thought they'd got the wrong email. I was like, why are they emailing me?
Yeah.
They wanted to know the life of a hairdresser.
Yeah.
I think suddenly, like we said, I think because of shows like The Kardashians, where you get to see people like Chris and you get to really like see their lives, people are now interested in the bigger picture.
And I've got to be honest as well, like, I do feel like for people in the public eye, the people doing your hair and makeup do actually become the people that you are closest to.
Yeah.
You see them every day, you know, like when there was a period where I was filming like 2-3 shows at once, who was I seeing the most? You Mate. And Liel, to be quite honest.
Sick
with
of me.
That's how we got so close.
Funny you say that, because I think we end up taking on a lot of your problems.
Yeah.
Because we're around you every day. And if we turn up to a shoot and we're in a bad mood, we don't get booked again.
Yeah.
If you're in a bad mood, who gets it the most? Not saying you personally, but like if you're in a bad mood as a talent,
yeah.
we're getting it because we do everything we can to make you feel and look good.
Yeah.
That's a hard job. It's not just having the hair looking good. And I think I always say it's not just how good you are at hair, it's what you bring to the set.
Yeah,
if you're
I feel like
up
as well, you want someone with, you know, ease, that you want someone that's going to make you feel amazing and hype you up. And even the smallest things of like Instagram being such a big deal, you know, you're there taking behind the scenes pictures, you're there making sure it all goes smoothly. And like, you know, I think it's really important, you know, every big shoot I've had James there, to be honest. And that's, you know, obviously because you're an amazing hairdresser, but also because even before he was really close, you made me feel so at ease. You
and
know?
Be honest, how many of them shoots have you been like, I'm not right today?
Probably every one of them, to be quite
no,
honest.
But some of them, not all of them. But like we're there to
no,
make
but
you
I'm
feel
always a bit
good.
Nervous. You know, I feel like people think because I'm, you know, I'm confident, but you know.
I've got a bag back from Tonga and you've got a bag back from Cavi and Tawi on your back.
It's been a while. It's been 5 years now.
But I think we just become your life. Like part of your life.
Yeah, of course. I'll never forget like a really funny story about me and James. Do you remember when I was doing Celebs Go Dating? I was doing Celebs Go Dating and James was booked to do the hair separately. So he's doing the hair and he's got like, how many other people are you getting ready?
4 or 5. You were first in.
Yeah.
Remember that? And obviously you go to your set, you do your bit. And I was like, well, I've got to go and do. At this point, it's a secret who's coming on, even though you found out.
I found out.
Not through me. You were like Miss Marple that day. So I've gone to the next person. Production come in. Chloe wants you. Does she?
She needs airbrush.
Does she though?
No.
Gone in there. Just missed you, James. Come back. But I think you were nervous.
I am nervous. I feel like I get nervous quite often. I feel like, you know, with
I
me.
I think we all do.
I think I'm really harsh on myself, like, that, you know, I've been doing this since I was 18. It's been quite a lot of years now. And I think that I'm often, like, people would see me and think, she's a veteran, she can do this, she's been doing it for a while. And often I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think there's, like, when you're in this job, there's a version of you that isn't you?
100%, like, you know, I think it's very much like a mask that you put on a lot of the time, because like what I found myself doing quite often is like I'd say, oh well, if I'm this character that I become and
you.
They don't like this character, it's not a personal attack on my character.
Yeah,
it's just a made up persona. And I feel like I was so terrified of being my actual self that I just wasn't for a very long time.
It's hard to get there though. I remember when I first done one of the first jobs to come out, one of your Taubi castmates, it's not on the show anymore, told me I was shit at my job, couldn't cut hair looked shit, literally screamed at me on set.
Oh my God.
But you learn
I can guess so.
You learn to just adapt to the, like, who it is, like, that's not me as a person, that's just a version of me, and that's fine, I've got my life at home that I go home to. But it's hard to not... to like cross over the two.
I think it's really hard to sort of get away from what's a job and what's real life, especially when things become so personal, you know, for
especially
example
on a show like yours.
And even what you do as well, like I suppose that there's been so many times where clients have turned into friends. Do you ever feel like that can become quite sticky?
Yeah especially when you're like responsible for how they look, or they want you and you can't do it, or when money gets involved. It's hard to split the difference, but you got to learn to have a thick skin and just like, cool, I've got this.
And like, obviously you've had some experiences. What would you say has been one of your worst experiences?
I think, well, I just said that a time on set, I think I cut a fringe and she just wasn't happy and it wasn't finished. And before I'd finished, I was being screamed at.
Yeah.
But I think that I was 18 or like younger then. I wouldn't have that now.
No.
And I think you just mature and grown up and, you know, I don't want to blame her, but at the same time, I think she was going through a lot.
Yeah.
So I think... that's the thing, you bring this to work and it's your life and you get so involved, you just got to learn to separate it.
Yeah. And do you feel like now, like, you've definitely got your boundaries up and stuff when it comes to new clients?
Yeah, as people I'd say no to now.
Oh really?
Yeah, I don't like your energy, I'm not interested.
Really?
And that's protecting myself.
Can we talk about collabs as well? Because that's just going to... I think that's something that's quite interesting.
Go on.
I think that, like, with influencers and celebrities, people assume that we get our hair done for free.
Yeah.
Can I just ask your opinion on collabs? Because I just want to make it quite clear. James does not do people's hair for free.
The worst fit is...
He's booked and busy.
I don't want to say the names, but the worst fit is someone messaged me saying, I'm obsessed with your work. I love everything you do. Do you want a collab? Did you follow me? Nah. Yeah. How are you obsessed with me if you don't follow me?
Yeah. So they've just seen you.
Like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Do I look like Demilza? Am I a charity?
So you just don't do it?
I didn't reply.
No.
Screenshotted it, shoved it in the girls' group chat and thought, look at this mug.
I'm not doing it.
No. I'd help, you know me, I'd help anyone out. Yeah. I've done your hair and I've been like, don't mind about it. Like, yeah. I'll be there for you. But don't take the piss.
Yeah. And do you feel like on collabs as well, it's not really something you necessarily need to do anymore because you've got a clientele?
Well, I just think anyone who's actually done well in life has got their money to pay you.
Yeah.
And they respect you.
Yeah, it's a job.
It's not about the what you're exchanging. It's actually down to respect.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have I done your hair? And out of respect, I've gone, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Could you book me dinner? Well, we've done this, done that. It's when people assume you're going to do it for free.
Yeah.
That I think, nah, man, piss take.
Make me laugh.
Job done.
So obviously... Now I want to speak about how did you end up becoming the first male ambassador for Anne Summers? Summers
was mad.
Yeah.
Totally unexpected on my part. I had I'd done Lucy Donlan and I met the amazing Anne Summers team and then I got booked for a campaign and then a lady there called Natalie who's does marketing.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite high up. Very high up in fact. She said, I've seen your photos on a night out. You wear makeup, you know, I don't wear girls' clothes, but obviously I look quite feminine.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should be in Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I thought, fuck off.
Yeah.
I thought it was a joke. I was like, what, me?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I was in Halloween and they end up using the photo in Wardour Street.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think
we went to see it. We went down to see it, yeah.
And the response we all had blew us all, including me, away. Now, I've always worn makeup. I remember at school, I used to wipe it off on the way home so mum wouldn't see.
But you'd wear it to school?
I'd wear it when I went to sixth form. We went to a girls' school.
Mm-hmm.
I remember everyone had spots and stuff. Remember Dream Out Moose?
Yes,
I used to wear that.
So you went to a girls' school.
Went to a girls' school for sixth form.
How did that come about?
It's a boys' school and girls' school opposite.
Yeah.
So I'd done my usual year 7 to 10 or 11,
mm-hmm.
and then 10. Went.
It's 11. It goes to year 11. Sorry.
All my friends at the girls' school opposite.
Yeah.
We used to get the bus home together and stuff. So I was thought, you know what? I'm going to go there for sixth form.
What, and they allowed you to do it?
Yeah, because it was mixed in sixth form. There's only 12 boys in the whole school.
Yeah.
I hated it. Like, going to a girls' school, you fall out of a boy at a school in the boys' school, you have, like, a fight at rugby, done. Girls' school, it goes on for months.
Oh, yeah, girls are very bitchy.
And you fall out of one girl, the whole herd of sheep fall out of you.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's, like, all sheep.
Yeah.
So I went there. And obviously, used to wear makeup. We used to wipe it off. And then when I done X Factor, I think it was just so obvious that all these boys looked perfect.
Yeah,
they were like pop stars.
Yeah, but I think you're around. I think you're in an environment where no one cares. Like you're in this environment of people. We've got these eccentric characters in on X Factor, and you know men are wearing makeup and men are beautiful.
But it's the norm.
It's the norm. Like you know, I think honestly, in this industry, anything goes. And it does. I feel like
no one judges.
No one. And I feel like you know, even like when I see TikTokers doing so well. And they say about in school how they was bullied or they was maybe geeky in school. Like, I just think it's so lovely, I think, because the fact is that when you're in school and if you're not popular, you think it's the end of the world, to be quite honest. And I think it's like the popular crowd are actually the fucking worst, to be quite honest with you.
Because now they're all ugly.
No, they're probably... you know what? It reminds me of that TikTok, you know, and you go, she has some issues because she's ugly. That's true. Unnecessary. But the popular people are more so just probably just not really... It doesn't really matter in
I think also the downside is like, I think you probably agree with me. As soon as you're in this industry, everyone's got perfect teeth, perfect hair, perfect this, perfect that. I ended up having a nose job, hair transplant, and fake teeth by the age of 21.
Yeah.
Just because I've been around it and I thought that was normal.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what was I thinking?
I think the excessive surgery in this industry isn't normal. And I think that the constant need for perfection also isn't normal. I think, you know, I went from working in a salon in London, which is obviously you was working in... you know, TV, so he was around a lot of stars. The salon I was at in London, like, the people would come in that were beautiful, but the salon I was at celebrated natural beauty quite a lot. So right. we were sort of encouraged to be like, you know, short nails, no lashes, nice, natural, beautiful hair. Do you know what I mean? So when I went into this industry, oh my God, I amped it up straight away. You
was
know,
it a
shock? You know, I'd gone from working in a Mayfair salon that was classy and filled with beautiful, rich women to then work like being on Towie where everyone's got fake lashes and nails. I just put them straight back on.
And the worst is when you got it for free.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you just quickly take it.
Oh, of course you're going to take it. Like, there's been times where I look at myself and think I just look like a jumbo sale, to be quite honest with you. I've chucked everything on and, you know, I had a lot of filler very young. I've still got a lot of filler, you know, but I done it very young. And I think that's because it sort of seemed to be normal, which probably isn't.
Mad. Things change.
I know.
But I've done Lucy, obviously, wore makeup, which obviously started from X Factor and stuff. And yeah, Natalie said, I think you should be in it. And I was like, okay. Got in it. The response was just mind-blowing. I had all kinds of people message me that you would never expect.
So what?
You look sexy in that, you know, I'd do you in that, fit as fuck, look better than the girls. Stuff which, obviously, I'd heard on a night out because things get said, but it seemed weird it being online and so public. So seeing the comments in the DMs quite, you know, online when you're so publicly seen in an ad, it was just a bit different. And then they said, we need to pay you for that picture. Obviously, I hadn't actually sorted that out. I just jumped in. And I said, don't pay me, give me an edit. A bit cocky with it, but I thought, nah.
Yeah.
The response is great. This is going well. This obviously means so much to many more people. So let's
And what do you think it meant to people? What do you think it meant? Obviously, you're saying about the messages, sorry to interrupt, you're saying about the messages you got from men that, you know, fancy you, for example. But what did it mean to young gay boys?
I think it just gave us a place.
Yeah.
It gave everyone, I think what it stands for is more than just that. I think it's more, there's a place for everyone being who they want to be.
Yeah.
Besides the taboo of it, of being dressed in lingerie and doing
Can I
this.
Ask you as well, a lot, aside from the amazing feedback you got, which I think you should get nothing but amazing feedback, why do you think you received backlash from women being annoyed that you was wearing women's clothing?
A lot of them saying I stole women's rights, which really annoyed me.
Yeah.
Being told I looked like shit or had no curbs. Donna in Yorkshire said that. I'll never forget it.
Donna. Shout out to Donna.
Besides all, like, someone coming for me, yeah. I think coming for what it stands for and going against that was the more irritating bit because I spend my life every day making women especially look and feel beautiful.
Mm.
So I've not stolen anything.
Yeah.
If anything, I've amplified, but it's already great.
Yeah.
We're bringing to shop windows what should be normal and giving a place for people to be themselves, which is the main message. It's not about me in lingerie, it's about telling people there's a place for you to be who you want to be.
Wear what you want to wear.
Regardless what it is. And surprisingly, there's so many people, straight men, who love to dress up in women's lingerie.
Okay.
Which is
so I want to talk more about the Anne Summers edit, but I feel like while we're on this topic we might as well delve into it. I've been your friend for a very long time. I'm friends with a lot of gay men and I feel like I know that it's the norm for gay men to date or sleep with straight men, but I feel like people that don't know as many gay men as I do aren't aware of this at all, to be quite honest with you. And I feel like it's a bit of a taboo subject, and I felt like what better person to ask about this than you.
Somebody who gets DMs all the time.
Yeah. Can you just talk a little bit more about straight men for me?
I think it's
and obviously me... please can I just put a disclaimer out there, this isn't every straight man. We are not saying every straight man wants to date a gay man completely. We're not saying that at all, but I'm just saying from my personal experience of being around gay men, I've seen a lot of attention from straight men.
I think the word gay for a start is carries such a heavy cloud.
Mm-hmm.
I think people think are gay, they think I'm gonna skip down the street wearing a tutu, which isn't the case. I think it's where it took me 27 years to realize that it's not gay. I think a lot of it is a fetish. A lot of straight men actually, they don't fancy boys, because I get it quite a lot. I'm not gay, but I fancy you. Okay. I'm not this, but you're this. You know, I'm not into guys, but you're sexy. And I think, well, what does that even mean?
Well, I think a lot of people would argue that if you're a man and you fancy someone that is a man, then that is gay, no?
But I also want to open the idea that you can be straight but still fall in love with the same sex. Because I think, what is love and happiness? Is it down to what you got down below or your person?
I don't know, I would argue that.
No, I'm here for it.
But listen, I'm like the biggest gay ally there is. But what I'm saying is that if I fancy a woman, I'm a lesbian. And that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But I think a lot of these guys that message me are actually just more intrigued about what that side of life is like. I don't think it's a commitment. I don't think it's a life choice. But also, I think we're so used to being taught as kids that, you know, the prince meets the princess and all that kind of stuff, that by the time you get to an age where you want to start exploring yourself, they're too scared to.
Mm.
And I think me being in Anne Summers opens that door to be like, oh, actually, I'm interested in that.
Mm.
I don't think that makes you gay. I also don't think it should put you in a box.
And when do you feel like it gets to the point where it is gay, when you sleep with them?
I think it's more emotional. I think beyond that, I think sleeping with a guy could be like not gay, in my opinion. If you want to try it, if I have a vegan burger, I'm not a vegan. I just fancied it that day. You know what I mean? I always say, like, I'm the Big Mac in a vegan's life. Do you know what I mean?
So funny, James.
But I do think it's true. If somebody wants to try it, does it make them that thing?
I suppose so. It's very hard for me to comment, you know. I've always just dated men. But I suppose from what you're saying, it is true, yeah. I suppose.
But I'm also aware that when I do wear makeup and I do the whole lot and I go out, I don't wear girls' clothes, but I do look feminine. Is there a question mark above me as to what I am? When guys look at me, are they thinking I look like a girl? Is that why they fancy me? Or is it because they know it's forbidden? If I said to you as a kid, don't touch that, what do you do? You go and touch it.
Mm.
It's because you know it's naughty, but we want to make the naughty normal because it should be normal. And how many guys, and we always say that our Anne Summers campaigns and everything I've done, the people it will affect most, we'll never know about because they'll never come forward and talk about it.
That's so interesting, isn't it? I don't understand. Like, so what is the thought process behind that, do you think?
I think for them it's more of a fetish or like a kink.
Okay.
Which, you know, I'm not in that. But then maybe I am in that because I do it. I do it, I feel good in it. So maybe that is the unknown.
That's so interesting, isn't it? Yeah. And so when it comes down to like DMs and sleeping with, have you dated straight men?
Yeah, I've openly been with straight men. Obviously, I have to keep it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's even more exciting, I think it's the word is. But I think now, as a 27-year-old, having been through it and understand it and have been hurt in the past, I don't think it's a commitment. I think it's more like a fetish and you want to try something that they haven't done before. But also, I think being in Anne Summers and wearing makeup and looking feminine also makes me an easy target as somebody they want to lean on.
But do you feel like, as well, like, are you happy to be someone's fetish? Because I wouldn't be. Like, if someone watch TV and was like, oh, I just want to sleep with you because, I don't know, your mouthy short girl off tower, it's my fetish, I'd be like, fuck off. So do you know what I mean? Yeah. I wouldn't feel comfortable in playing into someone's fetish.
But I think that's with experience, knowing that who means it. Because they tell you everything you want to hear.
Mm.
I'm this, I'm that. I'm not gay, but I fancy you. You know, we could be together, we could do this. One guy was even like, I've got kids, we can run away with the kids. And I thought, this ain't going to happen in a million years. But I think I've just learned to almost like repel it now. I don't care anymore.
And have you ever had a relationship with a gay man?
Never.
The only men you ever dated have been straight?
Yeah.
Obviously, I know that, you know, like, obviously I'm friends with you, I'm friends with Janae's, and I know that often you two say, what's your title, a straight man? You've never dated a straight boy?
No. I don't look for it either. I feel like a lot of people will go out looking for it. I've always been in the club. Like, I go out to have fun with my girls.
Yeah.
I go out to party, to dance, to whatever. I don't drink. I drive the girls home. I get in bed. If a guy tries to hit someone in a club, I'm like, no, I'm out. I'm busy. But I also find that the guys in the club that are hurling abuse at me, one of them will inbox me that night.
That is mad, isn't it? Do you feel like, how has it affected you dating straight men though? How has it affected you? Because I know if I was dating someone and I knew that we can never be together for reasons, because of, I don't know, he might have a wife, or he wants to keep me a secret, I know that it would hurt me and I wouldn't enter in something knowing that I would get hurt. How does it affect you dating a straight man?
I think you just hang on to the thought that one day they'll be comfortable, but that day's not come. So
do you think it will? Do you think you
I think the older you get, the less you want to put up with. But I was seeing a guy for 6 years and he went on TV to find a girlfriend.
Like, and do you not find it hard to watch though? And I just know that I just want to scream out, you've been with me.
Nah, because I'm better than that. My pigs.
Excuse me, like, he's like, I'm better than that. I'm, no. Like, well, I'm not. I'm not.
I'm in a comfortable place. I know what I bring to the table. I also know, you know, I'm not looking that come to me. I wasn't looking for it. And that's the path that wants to go down. And I'm not willing to go down that path.
Do you think you could date a gay man that looked masculine?
I don't think I would openly date and look for anyone. If it come to me, this is what I'm going back to before. Like, if I'm happy with a person, I will date that person, regardless of who and what they are.
On the Record with Chloe B is exclusively sponsored by the Tooth Club UK. Make sure you check them out, as they've got clinics all over Essex, Hertfordshire and Kent. Check them out on Instagram, the Tooth Club UK, and don't forget to mention Chloe10 for an extra discount.
And do you feel like there's more representation in the media now for people like you? Because when you was growing up, you said you didn't have anyone to look up to.
Yeah, I think we're getting there.
Who would you say there's someone in the media that you look up to?
Now, Rylan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's nice to see somebody who, you know, is doing well like that. I think there'll be more people like that. Hopefully, I'll follow in that footsteps.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I think there's a long way to go. I think it shocks me, like, on the back of Ann Summers, the amount of brands we've reached out to question why they're not there yet. Mm. You get no reply.
Really?
Or the brands that do want to work with you, oh, we want to do this, but not that, because we're not quite there. Because they're scared. And I get that.
So, yeah, that's another thing I wanted to speak about. And I think it's a really good thing to end on, actually. So, with the Ann Summers edit that you recently did, obviously, tell us a bit more about that.
What, my personal one?
Yeah.
Or the Valentine's?
We've done both, haven't you?
Yeah.
But I feel like the edit's important to talk about, but I think you... talk about the edit first.
The edit on my own was my way of Ann Summers to go, like, this is happening. It's about time we celebrate people like me and others, and this is what we're doing. And then actually Valentine's was half my idea.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring what we had done on my own mixed with doing it with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Because to bring the two worlds together, because they are together. Like, you support me, you always share my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't be me and my own. It should be about joining the two worlds, which is what was another hurdle of this journey that we had to overcome.
You know, I think it's amazing as well. Like, obviously your Valentine's edit was partnerships. That's what it was about, wasn't
it? Yeah.
But I feel like for so long... in, you know, any lingerie shop, any shop, basically, it's based on date night and a male and female date night. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Heterosexual date night, a woman's dressed up all amazing for the man. And I feel like, you know, the edit they done for Valentine's was absolutely amazing. You know, they had a bestie date night, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like, you and Lucy.
Me and Lucy.
They had an older couple, which I thought was great. And they also had Helen Flanagan, who's a single woman. Yeah. With a rabbit. I thought it was fantastic.
I just think it's such a massive hurdle. And to bring them worlds together and to show all aspects of Valentine's, Galentine's, bestie, whatever, it was just, a massive step. But this is just the start.
Yeah, what do you think's next? What do you think people need to start doing next?
I think other brands need to get on board.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for other brands
What brand would you like to see?
JD.
Yeah.
Foot Asylum. Like, why are there no people from them communities representing in them shops?
Yeah.
And also, I think it's about time, like... the word gay and all that kind of stuff, we're not all like that. We're not all flamboyant.
Mm.
And there's so many people out there who I see in my DMs who need to be represented.
Yeah.
And hopefully I can be a part of that.
Yeah. And with the Valentine's Day, can we just talk about the trolling you received? Because I know it was something that hit you quite hard. And I think it's an amazing thing to end on. Well, it's not amazing, but I think it's something we need to talk about.
No, it's important,
What was the trolling about with the Valentine's Day?
That I look disgusting.
I thought you looked amazing, to be honest.
I shouldn't be doing this, shouldn't be doing that. Why am I wearing this? But I just think it goes down to jealousy. I think a lot of it goes down to people aren't ready to accept it. But this is what I'm saying. Like, when you see people at school and clubs and they give you abuse, that's taught. It's not genetic.
No.
You don't get taught to be nasty to people. It's not in your genes to be nasty to people. It's taught.
No, of course, just a warm. I think a lot of the problems in the world are taught.
So I think doing campaigns like this and having me in it, it's just a baby step in a massive journey to teach mums, dads, kids that actually people like me exist and that's okay.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And I'm so proud to be part of it.
And I'm very proud.
Thanks.
I'm proud to have you here and I'm excited to see what you do next.
Thanks for having me
and
on.
I'm excited to see what happens next as well, because I feel like things are ever changing and I feel like, you know, brands, companies are becoming more open in talking about things that need to be spoken about. And I think brands like Ann Summers are absolutely amazing in doing so.
And it's not about ticking a box, it's to make sure that box is filled with plenty of ticks. And like, you know, shows might have certain characters on that they might feel like ticks a box, but actually that only ticks the majority of, or like minority of people.
Mm.
We're not all like that.
No.
We're not all like, you know, same for, all, not all girls are like you.
No.
And I think it's important that every side of that gets covered.
Do you feel like there's a bitchy gay narrative in the media?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'd sit here in a tracksuit, I'd tie my hair up, wipe my makeup off.
He's got a fringe on today, but he would tie his hair up.
But I'm just like any other boy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I sit there and eat out a kebab. Why not?
Eat out a kebab. I don't know. Maybe you have to rephrase that. Do you know?
I think you have to. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, I do boy things.
Yeah.
Doesn't make me any different. The same way you know, there's parts of you that aren't girly. If that's a stereotype.
When I'm eating a McSpicy in a car park, that is not.
And she's crying because she's choking on it. But you know what I mean. There's different versions of each stereotype which we're yet to explore, and I think this is just a little step in making sure it gets heard.
Honestly, I feel like there's so many things that people are going to be really interested in hearing. The journey, breaking boundaries with what you're doing with Van Summers.
It's just a start.
Just the start, babes. I'm excited.
That has been On The Record with Chloe B. Thank you to the Tooth Club UK for sponsoring this episode of On The Record with Chloe B. With thanks to Blank Box Studio for their amazing podcast space. If you are looking for anywhere in Essex or near to London where you want to do photo shoots or host your own podcast, make sure you drop them a message via social media. Please comment underneath who you would like to be our next guest, and make sure you catch our next episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube.